Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really, or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day? Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment. I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And today we turn our attention away from free agency and the trade market and talk some summer league hoops. We just had the California Classic wrap up. I think this is the third or fourth year of them doing that. I've really enjoyed this tournament as it's grown over the last few years, D. And last night, Lakers had an exciting comeback. Dalton Knecht and Darius Bazley combined for a big fourth quarter, and they were down like 12, 14 points, four and a half minutes left. Furious comeback, ends with a Dalton drive, washes out the defense. Darius Bazley gets the putback jam, capping off a 27-point, 13-rebound night for him. Dalton had like 13 in the fourth quarter after a couple of rough games. First two games got back on track in that game. And so, D, just want to talk a little bit about the Summer League. We've got Vegas starting on Thursday. And just kind of what we're expecting, what we're looking for, kind of how we're taking it all in. I know you've been busy with the newest member of the Lakers family, but talk to me, D, about your impressions of Summer League so far.
Yeah, so I was still on vacation when the first two games happened. And so I was mostly box score watching and farming clips, as many as I could, from various social channels. And it seemed like Dalton was not quite there. And you and I were chatting a bit offline about slower starts, but starting to find a rhythm as the games went on, becoming more aggressive, maybe fine-tuning his decision-making. This past game, he looked more like himself and like what you'd expect from a second year player who has a certain amount of pedigree to him. I was also very happy to see him catch fire or like get warm at the end. I was encouraged by the level of defensive fight they showed like down the stretch of that game, because I didn't think they had guarded particularly well through the first like three and a half quarters or so. But as they continue to hang around and the Spurs weren't able to truly separate, Dalton hits that pull up three. He just walked right into one. And that's a shot that I feel like he takes, Pete, when he is like, I think I've got one in me right now. And then I was super happy that after the defensive stop, a possession later, and it's early offense, sort of semi-transition, they could have pushed down the middle of the court, but Dalton sprinted left side corner and they found him. And I thought that was a great feel for the game of, oh, he's got it right now. And so to see him then reward that with that made corner three and then the aggressive drive and then Bazley capping it off, I just thought that was a very good Dalton sequence that I wanted to highlight, because he hasn't had many of those through the first two games to that point. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted to talk to you about Bazley. Besides his awesome first name, he's been playing well. he's not eligible for a two-way contract because he has too much NBA experience, but he's looked the part of a former first-round pick who's trying to make his way. I've been especially impressed by the fluidity of how he's moved athletically, and particularly in transition as a grab-and-go player. Like, he's really been able to clear a defensive rebound and then just push the ball up himself. And once he gets to that decision zone that you've talked about, like in the 15, 16 foot range off of the dribble, he has a nifty variety of euros and sidesteps and little high and low gathers and just a variety of ways. He's left-handed, so he's got a certain amount of like deception to him and craftiness that I've really enjoyed. And I thought yesterday he looked like the best player on the court for long stretches and had some really good finishes inside. I'd love to talk a little bit about Bazley, but also the overall group of the team too. Like, I know there's a lot to discuss. We haven't really hit the summer league part of things yet. We'll get into it more at Vegas, but I've been really liking Bazley's minutes.
Yeah, let's talk Bazley a little bit. That he's clearly the best athlete on the floor and has been the Lakers' best player so far. There's a little bit of skepticism with me. It's funny. I'm going to come across very much as a Dalton apologist and maybe not a hater of Bazley, but this is sort of plays into my broader irritation with the Lakers' approach to the five spot in general. And Bazley's playing very, very well. It's not anything against how he's played, but as you said, a lot of the work that he's done has been grab and go type of stuff. That his ball handling combined with the fact that he's the best athlete out there, there are just a ton of possessions where he's getting the rebound, pushing up court, and the defense never gets set, and he goes to the free throw line, for example, and they just can't stay in front of him, can't guard him, kind of like the way Giannis is in the NBA, right, where you're not able to wall him off because he's so big, so powerful, and he's so coordinated with the ball. And that ball handling from the five spot is not something that I value much in real games. And when it's relative to, like, I don't know what Bazley does defensively specifically. He had a really nice block on a drive and a drop coverage, and I think he's got some switch ability. But the Lakers have primarily played him as sort of a small ball five, and I do think I think he's kind of caught between defensive positions, and that I don't know what he does defensively at the five spot, but I don't think he can guard on the perimeter consistently the way that you would need a four to. And so there's an element of his production that's like, this is nice, but it's not really what I think the Lakers need at the five spot. But again, this has been kind of the story the last few years. Is even if you look at the team the year before at Summer League, in the last couple, guy like Colin Castleton was a grab and go guy, not nearly the same caliber athlete, but a five that you can give the ball to, that's comfortable with dribbling in open space, that just has a little more ball in their hands type of capability, that I've been really yearning for a defensive five. And part of why they weren't able to guard well last night is because their fives stink again on defense. And Bazley played a lot of the small ball type of five, in which he was on the defensive end, but the other guys are not good at all at the five spot. And so despite the production, D, I see it as somewhat, I don't want to say fool's gold, but this is, you're going to be able to do this in summer league in ways that he can do it in regular season real games. I don't think it's what the Lakers need at the five spot. And as you said, he's not eligible for a two-way contract because of his NBA experience. So I kind of view him as a quadruple A type of player. I view Swider in this way as well. But again, maybe this is me being a little bit of a hater. He's been very productive, D, but I just don't see how what he does translates, at least to the Lakers big club.
You know, it's interesting. That's a very convincing case that you made, and I'm basically in line with where you are. The reason he's intrigued me, not necessarily as like a guy that I think should make the team, but in general, one of the reasons why he's popped is because he is such a big and fluid athlete. And I don't think he's a five. I don't think that he's a four. I think that he's more positionless, but he's positionless offensively and defensively. Offensively in a good way and defensively in a bad way. The thing that he can do defensively is like race the floor. And so there were a few transition possessions where I thought he was like doing a good job of getting back and just being big and calling out coverages. And that's certainly a trait you want in a big player. Like, you want your big players back. I swear, even when the Lakers had AD, one of the reasons why they were a terrible transition team is that he often didn't race the floor back in defensive transition. And you need your big players back, because if the only guys that are back are your guards or your wings, you're going to stink in transition. And that's been a big red flag about the Lakers defensively over the past two or three seasons. And so I've enjoyed that part of his defensive identity, but little else. For as big as he is and as good an athlete he is, he doesn't pressure the ball enough against players who are lesser caliber athletes than him. And that was one of the things that stood out to me about the Lakers defense over the course of the first three and a half quarters or so, is that they just weren't pressuring the ball enough, even when they had athletic advantages.
And this was something they were very good at in the first two games, D. They forced a lot of turnovers with their perimeter ball pressure. This was easily their weakest game in that respect. And they gave up a lot of points on the interior as a result of not being able to pressure the ball on the perimeter. Not too unlike the big club, especially post-AD trade.
No, exactly. Even Bronny, who I thought was the clips that I saw from the previous game that he had played, he was a much more active defender in game two than he was in game three.
He was bad last night, yeah.
A lot of playing 2 or 3 feet off and conceding switches. And if you're going to be a soft switch team, you're going to be bad. Doesn't matter what level of basketball you're playing at. And so that's why I thought, Pete, the last 4 to 6 minutes of the game where the Lakers really started to get up in the ball a little bit more, hold my ground a little bit more. So when guys were driving, defenders were taking the hit and standing firm and then sort of knocking the Spurs off of their driving lanes, which they had basically conceded the rest of the game. And so that was leading to better contested shots, more drives and kicks that were leading to nowhere and missed shots. And it allowed the Lakers to get out in transition, rebound and grab and go, which played to the strengths of Basley. And it played to the strengths of Dalton, where he was able to like get freer and open looks. And that's how those two threes went down, right? The first one, it was sort of like, oh, no one's stepping up. I'm just going to walk right in to this. And the next one was a pure semi-transition play. I'm encouraged by Basley offering a roadmap for the type of player that I think would be useful at the big level, but he's not shown enough defensively in terms of the fluidity. Everything that he's doing on offense, Pete, should be able to translate to the defensive side of the ball, but I'm at least happy with the rebounding and the activity, because those are things that I want to see. And I'm hopeful that if he continues to compete like this in Vegas, that they'll invite him to training camp and see if he can push some of these forwards. And
25 years old, very talented guy. Yeah, I think that if you could figure out his defensive role, he definitely has a place in the NBA. Let's take a break here. Come back. I want to talk a little bit about Dalton.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom!
You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
So, Dee, it was good to see Dalton have a bounce-back game in this second game. One of the things I don't love is that we go several months without having a Laker game. And so when we do get that summer league game, the first couple can be sort of it's the first basketball to judge in a while, right? And then you've got the second year guy. You always want that second year guy to be able to pop and apply what he learned in that first year and kind of look like he doesn't belong, but in a good way, that he obviously stands out. And that was not the case at all with Dalton, especially in the first game. Dalton's first shift, especially almost every time he was involved in an action on either side, he made the wrong choice and was a step slow. And that was the difference, I thought, between last night's game and the game before. And you were talking about that stretch where he hit those back-to-back threes. He had gotten a transition dunk as well. That one thing that I like about Dalton that I think is worth sticking with, and Bazley did this as well, and is he can get you cheap points. And that's something that the Lakers were really bad at overall. And he can play at a level of pace that this is what distinguished him in last night's game as opposed to the first two, that at his size and level of athleticism, when he's also go, go, go like that, he's got a level of superiority, size and athletically to other guys, where he can also score off of a dead run, which I think this is one of the attributes that, like, I really want to see more of this with Luka. Dalton is fundamentally a rhythm player that I thought he caught his rhythm in this third game, especially that when you combine that with Luka, and I think they had the best two-man plus minus in terms of like Luka partners. If I remember correctly, Dalton was the best of the guys that got more than a handful of minutes. Is Luka is a rhythm creator. And so I think that putting finishers around Luka that can score on the run, right? Whether it's a rim run for a dunk or you're sprinting to deep corner or to the wing and you don't have to slow down at all. It's sort of a 1-2 step right into it. Compare that to say, to like Rui, for example, who I think Rui just needs a beat longer he doesn't have quite that fast release of I'm going to sprint 1-2 step, let it fly type of thing that Dalton does score and shoot in that way. With him, it's very much all about the pace that he plays with. But he had a bad first couple of games, for sure, in which a lot of the decisions he made were poor defensively. He was kind of making the same type of mistakes. Just yesterday, you were talking like, yeah, it might be trading him for Matisse Thybulle or somebody like that, right? So talk to me a little bit more broadly speaking about what are you looking for from Dalton? What are you looking for from that second-year player, that first-round pick from 2 years ago? I know we have kind of a lot of thoughts around how that player should look. What's your view on it?
No, I think that everything that you've said is right about Dalton, and I definitely want to highlight and appreciate the point you made about him being a rhythm player. And I think that there are times where coming out of college, Pete, he was like a high usage guy and he was the do everything player for his team. But from a skill set in which he is also a movement and off ball player from a shooting perspective, one of the challenges that Dalton faced last year was almost all of his on ball reps went away, in which he got a ton of those at Tennessee his last year in college. And his off-ball looks, after he had a couple of big games, teams started to defend him a little bit harder. Like, he was on the scouting report. You can't let this guy get hot. And it was almost consistently against bad teams that were like losing him. And then he was getting fouled and then he was making threes. And going into this year, I'm very interested to know, is there a fork in the road for how the team is going to ask him to play and what his predominant role is going to be? I remember it was Josh Hart's second summer league, and no one else played, basically, except for him, in terms of all of the young guys.
The baby Lakers, yep.
Yep, and they gave him the ball a ton. And they had actually told him, like, we're going to give you the ball. And he was out there cooking, running pick and rolls and just being an isolation player. And it was just like, oh, damn, look at Josh Hart. He's averaging like 20-something points a game in summer league. And it went to show that they had asked him to do this and he looked up to the challenge. And then he got frustrated the following season because none of those things were there for him anymore. After he got traded, he was the one guy where it was sort of like he didn't have all positive things to say about his time in Los Angeles. And he was sort of just like, hey, man, like the thing that sort of disappointed me or whatever about my time there was I thought I was going to get a chance to do some other stuff. And then I didn't. In bringing this back to Dalton, I feel like they brought in LaRavia specifically to challenge him for minutes in an interesting way, particularly if Rui is still on the roster. Mm-hmm. Are they going to give Dalton opportunities to go create some shots for us, play in the mid-range, run some second side pick and roll? Because I think that he has that in his game. And so when I think more broadly about him, Pete, I'm wondering, is there going to be this sort of mixed usage role for him where he gets to explore more things? Or is he going to be mostly an off-ball player with all of this shot creation around him? Because your point about his partnership with Luka, I think, is real. And there's a world for him where playing with Luka, playing with LeBron, even playing in lineups where Ayton might be like occupying more defensive attention and a player like him gets some freer looks, there's real off-ball opportunity for him to thrive. But as a rhythm player, it can be tricky. Mm-hmm. I haven't touched the ball in four possessions, and now I get an open shot, and the expectation is that I knock it down 45% of the time. That's a tricky life to live when you've been a usage guy in your history. And so I wonder where your head is around that idea or that construct that I have in my mind about this being an important year for him to sort of establish what his role is actually going to be for the team.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that play out in real time. If you've watched these three games of Dalton, one of the areas where he's struggled the most has been the one-on-one creation. And that's something that in Summer League, I love the Josh Hart comparison, because it's a great, like, Hart played a similar satellite type of role that Dalton did, and then as Dalton did last year, but then was given more. Josh is a better ball handler than Dalton is, and that's one of the things that sort of played out in a, is he going to have this mixed usage type of role or be more of an off-ball player? He doesn't have enough as a ball handler, in my opinion, to increase the on-ball touches, D.
He's also a little tall, Pete.
Yes, that's part of it. Mm-hmm.
High handle. It's just like guys get into his body a little bit more, whereas Josh Hart, he's such a compact player.
A little fire hydrant that could dribble, right? Yeah, and so you can get around guys when you're more Josh Hart's build rather than both Dalton and his build, but also his center of gravity. He plays tall, which has an advantage and has its advantages and disadvantages, just like the Josh Hart-style player has its advantages and disadvantages. I really think Dalton needs to incorporate a step back, because he can get all the way to the basket, or he can do the hang dribble into a pull up, which are two of the moves in sort of the taller player type of sequence. Think of KD, right? But you're sitting on my drive, you're expecting me to drive, or you're kind of on your heels a little bit, I'm actually going to step back a little bit into the side and create separation and knock down this jumper, D. That, I think Dalton needs to incorporate that before he can have more on-ball touches. And so without that, he's actually not better as a one-on-one player than the defenders that he's going up against. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why there are some elements to Summer League where it's like, yeah, he's actually not good at the thing that you're asking him to do, at least not to a super high level.
Yeah, and this is where I think DHO actions or simulated pick and rolls where he's not actually like starting with a live dribble, where he can come off of curls and pin downs.
And they've been doing that, though, but what's happening is the teams are switching that, and now it's like, okay, it's Dalton versus the big or something like that, and he feels, you know, I've got to create in this moment.
One shot that he does have that I'd like to see him go to a little bit more is that hard drive reverse pivot and then...
Mm-hmm. The fadeaway?
Yeah, the fade, which is a version of a step back, but it's obviously different footwork, right? And so he does have that, and I'd like to see him get to that a little bit more if teams are going to play him the way that they're playing him. Let's go to break here, Pete. And when we come back, I'd like to actually pivot away from the Summer League team, because we got an introduction to the free agents that got signed, and I'd love to talk about their...
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start.
the Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving, the BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability, the all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really, or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom!
One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
So, Pete, it was funny. There wasn't some sit-down press conference or anything. They, like, ushered out DeAndre Ayton and Jake LaRavia like they just won Grammys. So they're up on this stage, and there's, like, a single mic.
So strange.
It was just an interesting setup. Ayton's so big that he was, like, above all the camera angles that I saw. It's just, like, he's taller than the backdrop. I was just like, this dude looks massive. And so Ayton had an extended conversation with media. They're asking him questions. He's able to articulate where he's at in his career and his excitement about joining the team. I'm wondering if there was anything that stood out to you about things that he said or just sort of the perspective that he brought.
I was really encouraged by his comments. Go back and listen to his introductory press conference with Portland, where he was very much feeling himself, calling himself dominating and talking about he's a max player, I'm going to continue to be a max player. Other people's arrogance or belief in themselves doesn't bother me as much as it bothers a lot of people, right? Like somebody saying, I'm the man, I'm the best, all that. Okay, whatever, right? Like you do what you got to do to get yourself kind of ready to go. But Ayton kind of came from a more like, I want to protect the rim. I want to set good ass screens and while still being himself, right? But it sort of sounded just like a different perspective that was very encouraging from a this guy's head is in the right place type of thing. What impression did you come away with?
I was interested in hearing him talk about Luka specifically. It's always interesting to me, Pete, when guys who were very high picks from the same draft class get to play together. And Ayton was taken number one, but Luka's obviously the standout player from their draft. He's also a point guard, for lack of a better word. He's forward-sized or whatever, but it's just like Luka has the ball all of the time. And Ayton played with Chris Paul, but Chris Paul was a different type of point guard. And it was interesting to sort of hear Ayton talk about getting to play with Luka specifically and knowing how good Luka is and the prospect of them being on the court together and how Luka and LeBron both being like high assist players and what that could mean for him as an offensive player was interesting to me because it showed a certain amount of understanding of the pecking order of things, which isn't something that I feel like the arrogant stuff that you were talking about that can rub people wrong. One of the reasons why it can rub people wrong is when you talk that way when you're clearly not the best player or when your stature in the league clearly is not there. And so that part of things, whether it was for show or just media savvy or whatever, I was a bit encouraged to sort of hear him, if not explicitly, implicitly speak to the pecking order of things and be like, well, there's Luka Doncic. I know him. He's the best player from my draft class. There's LeBron James. I know him. He's one of the best players ever and a dude who is known to set players up like me pretty damn well. And I think that's all going to help me. So I was just like, okay, he does seem like he gets it. Now, you can get it on stage in front of media. He needs to get it on the court as well. But I brought him up a long time ago, Pete, because I know his skill set fits. I know that what he does well works next to the types of players the Lakers have. Is he going to play to that on a night-to-night basis as often as you would
hope or expect, not every night, because no one does it every night, but to a certain level and to a certain degree. And nothing that happened in his media made me feel like, oh, he doesn't get it. I thought more the opposite, actually.
Yeah, no, it sounds like he's in a good place mentally to have a really big year. And I can also understand from a young player's perspective when, for example, in Phoenix, you know, when you're in a situation that you're trying to play for something bigger, but you're the number one pick in the draft, and a lot of these guys in their early 20s are trying to establish themselves in the league and establish themselves as, this is the type of player that I am, this is kind of where I rank amongst my peers and all of that, that can be kind of counter to the goals and what the whole team cares about. If you're a teammate listening to your center talking about dominating and things like that, it's like, all right, man, just like get back on defense. Like, you know what I mean? There's sort of, this is not everybody's goal. This is your goal. This is what's on your mind. That I think he just sounded like a player whose individual pursuits and the team pursuits are a little bit more aligned. It just sort of had a better kind of feel for all of that. What about Laravia? I thought it was very endearing, him talking about his dad being a big Laker fan. Obviously, this is something that, you know, people can roll their eyes at Laker fans being like, oh, there they go, drafting another Laker fan, Kobe fan, whatever it is. But there is a, you know, you come from LA, who's born in Pasadena and all of that, that the Lakers have a special place for people that kind of grow up here.
And even if you're not from here, Pete, Austin talking about similar things with his family coming all the way from like Arkansas, right? The Lakers are a huge fan base, and if you're from LA, obviously, or the LA area, or you grew up watching the Lakers the way that I did, north of LA, there's always going to be that gravity of the moment of what those eras and the era that you rooted for, like what those teams meant to you. And the Lakers, as an organization, have been fortunate enough to have winning basically in every decade and high-level play in every decade. So I think that it does hold something extra. In general, Pete, like, I'm encouraged by Laravia.
Yeah, we haven't talked a ton about his game yet. When we talked about him, it was more in the context of the moves that the Lakers are making, DFS leave-in and all of that. Let's talk a little bit about him. What do you think of him?
He's bigger than he seems. He has not a lot of, not crazy amount of sauce to him, but he does have some offensive game. And the thing that stands out to me is that he is a fiery competitor. He is a guy that's going to get after it. And he doesn't seem scared. Seeing him in transition, and here comes Giannis steamrolling towards the basket. And he's just like, all right, I'm going to go vertical on Giannis and try to block a shot. He seemingly has a willingness to stand in there and be like, I've got a certain amount of athleticism and confidence in all that I can do. And he can hit the three-peat. He can attack a closeout. He seems to be like okay as like a passer. He understands defensive help situations, where especially as like a nail help guy, where he understands like, okay, this is where my position needs to be, and then closing out and understanding angles. There's a lot there to like. And he's young and he's athletic and he's got a certain amount of, I'm going to go and get it, that I think is super useful for an 82-game schedule. Like, okay, we have LeBron, who's the oldest player in the league, and Luka, who is can sometimes be like, okay, I'm going to play at a slow down pace. But if you surround these guys with guys who are going to go, 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 I think that's only super helpful to the overall picture of how your team is going to play. But how about you?
I like Laravia in transition as well, just to add on what you're talking about. We were talking about Dalton's ability to sprint into his three-point attempts, and Laravia is a similar type of shooter. He can get a three up off of a bunch of different type of footwork. Not a ton in terms of self-creation. Like, he can do a little bit of it, but it's mostly going to be kind of off of the shots created by others. But when he has shots created for him, he's going to knock them down and just play with a certain pace and, again, yes, athleticism that I think is important to create that effect across the board. That this is part of why I'm like, no, Dalton is helpful in this respect, D, that Laravia actually is a fairly similar player to him. So I do wonder if a trade is coming up, is Laravia a Dalton replacement, right? That still remains to be seen in terms of all of that, D, but also better on the offensive end than on the defensive end.
Yes.
He's got some defensive chops. He's a better defender than Dalton, right? On the perimeter, can be a little bit of a risk taker and a reacher. This is part of the reason why I'm so adamant about that on-ball point of attack defender is it allows the Lakers to run switching coverages less often. And one of the problems, Vando has this issue as well in terms of being a little too aggressive on the perimeter, is that if you're cheating too much and you can get beat, you can break contain. I talk about switching being a keep in front style of defense. That can kind of be against that. But I think we have several defenders of which Vando and Laravia are this type that if you're not running a switch scheme, if you're in a drop, if you've got Ayton protecting the rim, fingers crossed, then they're chasing over the top of screens and it's more conducive to their style of defense that I think if we can get Laravia in fewer switch everything type of lineups and more chase and recover and things like that, I think we're onto something and can kind of get the best out of his defense. Final thoughts before we wrap up.
I think that this is important. I also think that having a player like Ayton, who I understand that there's like defensive concerns around him, but he's a very big dude. And he's a guy that you're going to want around the basket. And so even if he plays up to the level to touch, I don't think the Lakers are going to predominantly switch with him at center. You then add players like Laravia or Austin or even Luka to a certain degree who can be like weak side help players or guys who are going to play positional defense within the context of a scheme, help and recover. This can play to their strengths and allow you to have these sorts of different coverages. The last point I would make in turning it back to offense, Pete, when you were talking about playing with a certain amount of pace, that was one of the things that when Austin got hurt last year and missed those games, the Lakers really struggled with not having enough guys who were going to play to a certain tempo. Hopefully, Laravia can be a complement to that idea and really support the team in playing with a bit more tempo, a bit more pace on both sides of the ball. And risk-taking to me isn't the worst thing defensively, Pete, because when you come up with a steal, you're going the other way, you're playing in transition, and I think the Lakers can still be one of the best transition teams in the league. So these are all things that I can see the vision. It just, they still need a couple of pieces to like put the puzzle all of the way together, but I am on board with what they've done in terms of Ayton and Laravia for sure.
All right, Vegas Summer League starts tomorrow. Got to meet the two newest Lakers yesterday. We'll be back either tomorrow or Friday with the next pod. But until then, you've been listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game.
Rebound to Lottie. 3 seconds left.
Van Exel
to win it. It's on the way.
Good! Kobe Bryant, 48 points, 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
in Boston. Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe. Hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal! Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. Two. One.
Miss it.
Bryant. Unbelievable.
It's over.
Shot clock now to five. Bryant. Yeah.
With a little tap to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers! James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane.
Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's infinitely refreshing!